There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome back to today's WCN TV program. We're broadcasting live, and it's Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. This is going to be a shorter program than usual because I have another commitment I need to attend to at 6 tonight. So we're only going to be able to be with you for about 45 minutes. It's only the second time I've had to do this, but I can't avoid it. So we're going to jump right in and get into things quickly here. Jamie Walden is our guest on the program. Most of you already know Jamie, but for those who don't, he's an author, a Bible teacher, and a nationally known speaker. He has a background as a U.S. Marine, EMS technician, police officer, and overseas missionary. His primary ministry right now is at the Calico Buffalo Base Camp in Colorado, where his team offers spiritual warfare training, deliverance ministry, marriage enrichment, family retreats, and they got a big summit coming up here too. I always ask my guests to choose the topic that's most prominent and pressing on their own radar at the moment. And Jamie has several things he'd like to dig into today, but especially the topic of the situation in Iran. So let's get things rolling here. Jamie, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here. How are you and the family doing in Durango?
We're doing good, brother. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to be on with you and the crew over there at WCN, and you know, unfortunately I couldn't make it out to the event this year that you just recently had, but it sounds like it went well. And yeah, we're doing well, just preparing for a gathering that we do out here every year, these warrior summits that we host. And so working hard, full-time dirt work and carpenter all the time, plus plus all the ministerial duties. So yeah, we got a lot going on.
Right. Well, hopefully you have some help. I heard you have some nice weather out there, so
Yeah, it is nice out here. You know, I know you've been out here to the camp before and stuff like that. So yeah, it's good. Spring's breaking and things are going on. But yeah, like you said, as far as the, you know, kind of the more prescient things that are going on, you know, just for brevity's sake, knowing that we're on a time limit today, we'll just dig into it. You know, it's one of those things where it's hard to even know where to start because it's all interconnected. So anything from, you know, comments from our administration about the golden age to the stripping of Gaza to the October 7th attacks in Israel to the overthrow of Bashar al-Assad in Syria to the, you know, naval assets that have been moved in to the Gulf there to start attacking Houthi targets to the tariffs on China and the reductionism of the Chinese economy from what's going on with the different international banking type of things and the shipping and supply chain issues going on with that. It's all interconnected. It's absolutely interconnected. And where it all leads to on the big picture, the macro picture is actually the arrival of the Antichrist and the culmination of the end of the age of grace and the transition period in for humanity into what we would know in eschatology as the end times or the tribulation period. And so there's a lot of different moving parts that are coming into play. In the year 2025 is going to be a significant year. I have friends in Israel and Jerusalem right now, also Tel Aviv. I have a good brother, Iranian, who just left yesterday, who actually escaped under the, you know, when the CIA overthrew the Shah and installed a theocratic regime. They were just out here for 10 days. So, I mean, they're part and parcel. Dad was a high-ranking military official within the Iranian guard over there, and also in aerospace and tech with Iran. And so, you know, I get to hear different things from different perspectives from primary source information as to the reality of what's really going on. And the bottom line is every single move that's being made lately is leading directly to the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Even part and parcel to, I'm sure you saw it, Rob, but the this kook of a guy who is claiming that he's the Mahdi, right? The hidden imam, the 12th imam that's going to unify Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and that he is the rightful descendant of Peter, and therefore he is the rightful pontiff to replace the Pope who just recently died, to come in and take power and be the unifying force for all these religions. And so you literally have this huge convergence of every detail of scriptures that have come online realistically at the exact same time within the last 6 months, which is insane. It doesn't matter if it's Neuralink, cryptocurrencies, blockchain currencies, Real ID Act, you know, global unification on these different levels, and the often prophesied, I use that word loosely, by the global elite of the Great Reset, it's all coming in online at the exact same time. And Iran and Israel and Syria, the Levant, we'll just say the Levant, that whole region is the great prize of the global elite, the Luciferian elite, and the hidden hand of all occultism and mystery schools to bring in their last great perceived age of dominance. I say perceived age because we all know that they can do nothing apart from the will of the Lord, and nothing's out of order according to the sovereignty of God. It just looks highly out of order and out of whack, but it's all completely going according to what the Lord has prophesied and foreknown it would be. So that's kind of where we're at in a nutshell, Rob.
Well, let's get to, I want to get to what's currently going on in Iran, but take us back first to Daniel chapter 10 and the Prince of Persia. Prince of Persia isn't just a fallen angel or demon that was only around during Daniel's time. It's a demon that's still very active today, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's the thing is we have to, you know, it's too easy to get lost in the weeds with the geopolitical or geostrategic stuff going on, which it's fascinating. It's intriguing. It informs our day-to-day life. But if we nullify or diminish the supernatural or preternatural aspect of it, we'll miss the reality of what's going on. And so we have very distinct, definitive ruling principalities that are mentioned throughout scriptures. One of the primary facia ones is the Prince of Persia, which we know is so significantly imbued with supernatural power from Lucifer himself that the archangel had to contend with him for 21 days just to deliver a message to Daniel. So if it takes an archangel of the whole of the Ancient of Days, the Holy One of Israel, Yahweh Elohim, the one true God, and he had to contend and fight in legitimate battle for 21 days against the Prince of Persia just to bring a message, that gives us some insight into the depth and the breadth of how significant these ruling principalities are. So not only do we have that supernatural component of what's going on with Israel, and by the way, that Prince of Persia has had a vehement, insatiable, long-standing desire to lay waste Israel. That's been one of the goals from the Medo-Persians to Persia to these different empires listed throughout Scripture. That has always been the end state. But then you bring online these other principalities, Gog and Magog, that are also listed throughout scripture as high level principalities that at the same time want to see Israel be utterly destroyed, right? We even have Gog and Magog. You know, there's competing, you know, no, there's no unity in scholarly work with regard to these things. You know, some people would say it's ancient Russia or Turkey or different aspects of nations in Levant. There's other schools of thought that Gog and Magog are only principalities. They don't necessarily relate directly to particular landmasses or people groups. Then you get into the city of London, or the Anglo-based area of the world, the Eurocentric area of the world, with the city of London, whose chief deities of the city of London, which, by the way, is the banking head of the whole world, is the city of London, and the IMF and the Bank of International Settlements, their chief deities that they venerate every year are Gog and Magog. They actually hold parades in the city of London, which, by the way, for the listeners, the city of London is different than London, the city. Kind of like you have Rome, but then within Rome, you have sovereign territory of the Vatican. So you have London, the city, and within London, the city is a sovereign territory called the City of London. Kind of like Washington, D.C. is a District of Columbia. It is not a part of any particular state. It is a sovereign territory. Same thing with the City of London. And their chief deities are Gog and Magog. And they're giants, and they have effigies. They're literal giants, as in Genesis 6 giants. They have effigies of them made every year, and they have parades to venerate Gog and Magog in the City of London every year. So
I did not know that.
Yeah, and
I just learned something new.
It's hard to really compartmentalize these things. And for the listeners, I apologize. I'll throw a bunch of different ideas at you all at the same time so that you can understand it. But what's going on in Iran is linked to the City of London. What's going on in Pakistan and India is linked to the City of London. In fact, India and Pakistan is 100% orchestrated by the IMF, which is linked to the City of London, whose chief deity are Gog and Magog. What's going on in Ukraine and Russia is 100% linked to the City of London. What's going on in Belarus? City of London. What's going on in North Africa? City of London. Everything comes back to City of London. They actually make the decisions. Most people think the United States is kind of the hegemonic powerhouse of the world. We are Anglo, Celtic, Druidic, mystery school, high level cultic in nature, and we are actually subordinate to London, in particular the City of London, through their alchemical Babylonian money magic system that is based out from London. That's how the whole world is structured and controlled, including China. You can't forget who owned Hong Kong, who owned India, who owns Australia, who owns New Zealand, who owns Canada, who owns the United States of America. I mean, again, if we don't get the macro, it's easy to forget or lose why there's seemingly all these different aspects of competing powers and all these different flashpoints and chaos points around the world. They're not incongruent. They're actually symbiotic. They're completely synergistic and symbiotic, based out from the Western-centric Anglo powerhouse, including what is going on in Eurasia and with China as well. So
City of London is basically pulling the strings on pretty much everything, right?
Everything. They're pulling the strings for everything. So that gets into now. Okay, so now we'll come back and we'll just make it Middle East centric.
Well, before you do that, let me just ask you, what's your take on Klaus Schwab?
Well, so Klaus Schwab was particularly put out as a villain, literally has his wardrobe and everything is hand selected by different think tanks. It doesn't matter if it's the Tavistock Institute or whatever, kind of like a Bill Gates. These guys are intentional, or a Zuckerberg or whatever. They are intentionally chosen to be a villain so that everybody's focus is on that, so that they can actually accomplish the real agenda by the hidden hand. So, and that, that's what they know, that everybody will get fixated. And then when they remove one of these guys from power, or they seemingly have a fall from grace or whatever it is, everybody cheers as if it was a great victory against evil. All the while they're cheering for their next step in their own demise. So the Klaus Schwab thing, even all that is smoke and mirrors. Bill Gates, smoke and mirrors. Fauci, and then all these exposures about what went on, you know, in those years under Fauci, it's all smoke and mirrors. It is psychological warfare 101. So that's kind of what's going on with that reality.
Yeah. Well, I've said all along that the whole thing is basically, it's all theater.
It is.
Everything is scripted. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole Trump summit thing with Zelensky and J.D. Vance. It's literally a smokescreen. By the way, all three of those individuals have an IMBD Actors Guild accredited page. They're literally all actors, all of them, physically, tangibly, not just metaphorically. They actually are actors. J.D. Vance, Zelensky, and Donald Trump are high-level actors. So these whole thing, it's all smoke and mirrors. Everything is about optics because they know the fickleness of human emotion. So it's very easy to direct people where they want them just with different emotional peers, whether it's fear or elation, or I'm going to remove something, or I'm going to add something to you. They can pretty much accomplish whatever they want with very little pushback from the masses. And they don't care if people like you and I know what's going on. They actually don't care if a couple hundred million people know what's going on. They have statistical algorithms of when they've crossed the Rubicon and they lost control. That statistical algorithm is 3%. That's all that needs to be awake is 3%, and they lose all control because the numbers are obviously on the side of the populace. But no matter how much truth is out there, how many YouTubers and broadcasters and podcasters and whatever, and internet sleuths and investigative journalists are out there, they still cannot break that 3% threshold. It always hovers at about 1.5 to 2% of the world that's actually awake. And you would think, because people like us are pulling in all these data points all the time, you would think that it would be 100-fold bigger than that, the amount of people that are awake, but it's actually not. Most people could care less what's going on. So
yeah, people are self-absorbed in every respect. So
yeah, absolutely.
So let's get back to Iran, because I know you wanted to get into that. Tell us what's currently going on there.
Yeah, so the Iranian issue is significant because it's actually directly linked to eschatology. And that's the angle that they're all working. So the Iranian political theocratic-based rulership is manipulating the people, including Hamas and Hezbollah, for their eschatology in game. And then the U.S., or we'll say the Western intelligence apparatus, so CIA, MI6, some of the other ones, there's ISI, and there's some other pretty significant Jordanian intelligence, Mossad, whatever. They are doing the same exact thing. And the cannon fodder are the people, both Arab and Persian. They are the cannon fodder in this game. And actually, they're all working towards the same end goal. Iranian theocratic political leadership and the Western-centric and Israeli-based political leadership are taking the whole world to a great conflagration, preying upon the emotions through eschatology. And that's what most people don't understand. So in Islamic eschatology, there's competition, right? Just like in our biblical eschatology, there's not a consensus on the rapture, or on timing, or the tribulation, or the trumpets, or the bulls. Same thing in Islam. There's not necessarily a consensus, but there is a general overarching consensus as to the return of their Mahdi, which is their savior, which we know will be the Antichrist, right? And then we exploit that, and their own government exploits that to get the people to do what they want to do. So the reason for the collapse of Syria and Bashar al-Assad was to clear the lanes for attacks on Iran. The reason why all of our naval assets have been moved into the Gulf to counter the Houthis, is to clear the lanes for deployment from the aircraft carriers to get to Iran. The reason for the destruction of Gaza and that pushing into Lebanon was to clear the lanes from anti-aircraft missile systems that were given by Russia to these different proxy groups, Iran and Russia, to clear the lanes to get to Iran. The reason why Iran has yet to retaliate, even though we've killed their president, we've killed their prime minister, we've blown up their pagers all over the place, we have triggered earthquakes. We do have that capability through directed energy weapons to wreck some of their underground centrifuge systems. We've hyperinflated their currency through sanctions, and we have fomented a populist uprising with the youth in Iran, all that by our intelligence apparatus. They're showing unbelievable restraint because they're actually waiting for this next level of operations to occur so that they can say to the masses in Shia Islam that this is the great conflagration that must occur for the arrival of Mahdi to come on the scene. It's intentional. It's very intentional. Same thing for what's going on with the U.S. and Israel, and what they're doing on their end is to create the right set of circumstances so that they can claim that what is actually World War, in reality, it will be World War III. They're going to spin it as if it was the Battle of Armageddon so that they can roll out their Messiah, which will be the Antichrist, right? Jews don't accept Jesus as Christ. Everybody knows that. They're going to roll out their Antichrist. They want to spin a great, huge, horrific, traumatic experience over the face of the earth, triggered from the Middle East, and then becoming Israeli-centric, Middle Eastern-centric. They're going to spin it as if it was the Battle of Armageddon. It's not. It's Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's Psalm 83 war. It's aspects of the Red Horse Riding. It's these lesser levels of prophetic fulfillment. They're going to spin it as if it's the Battle of Armageddon again, so that both the Jews and the Christians will receive their Antichrist, presenting him as if he's the Christ. Islam's doing the same thing. The Christians and the Jews and the occultists and the mystery school adepts are going to be doing the same thing at the exact same time. And in fact, when you look at it biblically, this clearing of Gaza is direct prophetic fulfillment for the arrival of the Antichrist, because he sets up his tent between the Great Sea and Zion, or the Mount of Olives. And what is everything Trump's doing is, we're going to level Gaza, and then we're going to have, what are they calling it? Not Trump Plaza, Trump Gaza, or whatever it is. And it's going to be this completely rebuilt superstructure, egalitarian hub of the most advanced technology and whatever. And that's where they're going to set up their and rule and reign from that area between Gaza and between the Mount of Olives to actually rule and reign over a two-state solution out of Israel. They're doing it all in plain sight. Trump's rolling out his little AI video discussing it, and nobody cares. Like what they're doing in Iran, nobody cares. The CIA raising up ISIS to purge the Levant of Christianity. Our government slaughtered systematically all the Christians in the Levant to pave the way for what comes next. So you have this multi-year, multi-tier, multi-dimensional 5D chess that is being played by all these different players, but they're actually all taking us to the exact end state. That's why it's so significant what's going on right now.
Well, it's interesting that you said that, because I've been saying for a while now that, you know, we have all these Christians cheering on Israel for, you know, attacking Hamas and getting into the situation there in Gaza. But Gaza is filled with Christians,
who are being killed daily.
So,
and guess where else? Guess where the most radiant move of the holy, authentic move, not this counterfeit thing like the college campuses in America, but the authentic move of the Holy Spirit is on the face of the earth right now is Iran and Syria. and among the Kurds, which share different borders within Syria, Iran, and Iraq, right? Like there is in Lebanon, a huge move. And look at what the globalist, Western-centric, Anglo-based goal is to actually slaughter the Christians in the region because they're not Christian. They're Talmudic, Kabbalistic, mystery school, Freemasonic, Illuminist adepts who believe they have an eschatology that is so demonically infused from Lucifer himself, you can't even conceive of it. There's a reason why it's called District of Columbia. There's a reason why the largest Egyptological phallic obelisk in the world is the number one single greatest edifice in District of Columbia. There's a reason why the Capitol building is the way it is, and the Temple of Pergamon is rebuilt there, and blah, blah, blah. Like why there's an apotheosis of Washington under the rotunda of the Capitol building. There's a reason why Trump moved the inauguration indoor and refused to put his hand on the Bible. Yeah, it's just most people don't have the context for the why. They don't have the context for what golden age actually is and the singularity. Why Elon Musk is calling his AI Grok and what the symbolism is of it. These guys are taking us somewhere so hard and so fast that by the time the normal human being is aware of what they did, it'll be way too late because they've done more in 3 months to accomplish this eschatology-based goal. They've done more in 3-4 months than what the adepts and the occultists have done in 200 years. They've done in 3 months. That's how significant this time is. It is going so fast. So hard, the tariffs, the whatever, the maneuvers, the Chinese shipping stuff, the Taiwanese this and the Ukrainian that and the blah, blah. You can't even keep up with it because it's moving so fast. And it's all centered around even the Pope. Like, do the listeners really think the Pope happened to die after Resurrection Sunday? Like, no, not this is. It's a game. It's a game of numbers and numerology. It's an occultic gamesmanship that is highly consequential. It is high stakes, and all of it is converging at the exact same time. It's overlay. It's an overlay from economics to military to spiritualism to ecumenism to nuclear weapons to technological rollouts to AI. To CERN, to Neuralink, to whatever, to the masses of satellites being thrown up in space all at the exact same time, and all the H1, H151, whatever bird flu stuff, and all like it is doing something that most people don't have the paradigm to receive. Really, they really don't have the paradigm to even hear it.
Well, and most people are saying peace and safety right now, right?
Absolutely. A golden age, right? Golden age. Yeah. While many are saying peace and security, then sudden destruction will come. You know, and actually, you know, as Christ warned, as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot, a lot of layers to those, right? Days of Noah and days of Lot, a lot of layers that we could get into that are more, you know, speculative. But Christ actually gives the qualifier for what he's referencing as the days of Noah, as the days of Lot. And what he says is, everybody is going to be going about business as usual, and then it's done. That's what he said. He says everybody's going to be eating and drinking and giving a marriage, blah, blah, blah. And then in an instant, that's the language all throughout scripture, including the destruction of Mystery Babylon. And although, you know, there's competing scholarly work on who Mystery Babylon is, I personally believe that the United States of America is Mystery Babylon. If you get a peek behind the veil of what we do and how we do and what we were founded on, what we were established for, what the founding fathers actually wrote and said, not what the historians or the moral majority right want you to believe about the founding fathers, you would have no doubt that the United States is Mystery Babylon. But same thing with Mystery Babylon. It says suddenly, in an instant, in a single day, in a single hour. And that's what Christ says, suddenly, the suddenly Suddenly the trap befalls. Suddenly the bulging wall breaks. Suddenly in an instant. And so that's what we're looking at right now, because the reality is, Rob, is when you think about it, I mean, most people's lives are still normal. There's different ebbs and flows of tension, or, you know, economic stuff, or, you know, movements geopolitically or with militaries or whatever, emerging techs. But if you think, if you talk to a normal person on the street, they don't think anything abnormal is going on. It's just a normal process and linear, you know, movement of the species. But if you lay it all out in one sitting, you'll realize how late the hour truly is, and the suddenly is right at the door.
Wow. Okay. Why don't we, anyone in the audience have any questions or comments for Jamie? There we go. Let's see. Ray, come on in.
Yeah, Jamie, good to see you again, man.
Hey, brother.
Good. What's your take on these blackouts that are happening, and how does that relate to anything of importance?
Ooh, great question, Ray. Don't get me started. Yeah. So with regards to that, if you've noticed the uptick, again, it's all connected, but the widespread earthquakes all over the face of the earth, and some mega quakes, rumblings in places that they've never had them before. Scientists are discovering fault lines that they know didn't know existed. They were drilling to take geothermal data in the Yellowstone caldera basin, and a geyser of magma shot out of the earth, and it melted all their equipment. They couldn't conceive of what happened. Where I'm at, the San Juan Mountains in Colorado, a huge caldera that they thought was 100% dormant. Of course, they use numbers like 28 million years ago, which is insane. But that's what the scientists say. All of a sudden rumbled back to life, and there's magma moving to the surfaces.
Don't forget Mount Spur in Alaska. Yep. They said is likely to erupt within weeks.
Huge one. Cascadia subduction zone, the Juan de Fuca plate up there in the Northwest as well too. And a lot of things in Southeast Asia, in Japan, obviously any area on the Ring of Fire really is. And even what happened with the blackouts is all secondary to major astronomical changes, in particular changes in the sun that they do not want the masses to know and understand. I listen to a lot of scientific data. I'm like a super nerd, I guess, or whatever. I listen to a lot of, and especially with regards to these earth sciences, I'm very fascinated by them because it's all biblical. If you think about this, the singular greatest, like wrapping everything together neatly in a bow throughout all the end times narrative is the earth changes. It's the earthquakes. It's the sun, the moon, the stars. It's the sky being rolled back by the scroll. It says people will hide themselves from the scorching heat of the sun, right? It talks about in Isaiah that the earth will stagger like a hut in the wind. You know, it's actually going to, you're going to have axial wobble and tilt shift. It talks about men heart foreboding off after these things, and the roaring of the seas and the waves, and like the perplexity of the earth changes. Everything is going to be centered on the earth changes, because you know why? Because God's wise. Because man can manipulate only so much. We can manipulate with directed energy weapons or HARP or geoengineering. We can manipulate data. We can manipulate certain things to a certain degree, right? The wickedness of man can do a lot of different things with even natural processes of the earth. But God is about ready to step in and do what only he can do, which is why it's astral catastrophism, celestial, and literally it says shaking not only the earth, but also the heavens, so that only that which cannot be shaken will be left remaining. So all that to say is the blackouts in Europe, and also was it Cuba last week or Puerto Rico knocked out the entire power grid? That's because the perturbances in our magnetosphere are so radical right now that they can't account for it. They can't account for what's coming off the sun with the CMEs, coronal mass ejections, but also the cold spots on the sun. They actually are having to change all their modeling and they don't know what to do. And every single time one of these huge bursts of different particle physics and photon physics comes at the Earth, it's literally creating crustal plate displacement all over and frying electronics because the magnetosphere is shifting so much that they can't account for it. So when that happens, there's scientists that are projecting that the magnetosphere is gonna thin so much that it's gonna change the jet stream. It's gonna change the hydro conveyor of the oceans. You're gonna have oceans recede where they should be, and you're gonna have oceans rise where they shouldn't be. You're gonna have tsunamis in places that they couldn't even conceive of. Underwater volcanoes erupting everywhere because these bursts of energy actually create crustal plate displacement, which obviously trigger earthquakes and release magma pools and, you know, trigger volcanoes and all these different things going on. And then you get the resultant EMP effect, electromagnetic pulse effect, which is what happened in Europe and Puerto Rico, literally blasting and knocking out power grids. So they're spinning the narrative as it's, well, it's because the power grid is overwhelmed, or it was too hot, or they tried to go all solar for one day. That's not true. The scientific community knows exactly what's going on, which is why they're digging in the earth like never before. Most of your listeners, Rob, will be familiar with deep underground military bases. Everything's going underground. The seed vault, they closed the doors and locked it underground. They're trying to get off earth. They're trying to get underground. And again, why do I address that? Because it's all biblical. And all the great men and all the generals hid themselves in the rocks of the earth from the great and terrible day of the Lord, right? Obadiah 4:4, though you set your nest among the stars, you try to get off earth because you know my judgment's coming. I'm going to bring you low for judgment. They absolutely know what's coming, but in their hubris and their Luciferian Nimrodian arrogance, they believe they can beat it. So that's why there's so many moving parts going on globally. That's why they don't care about the hyperinflationary nature of the economies. They want to reset it. That's why they're consolidating supplies and supply chains and shipping lanes. And they're doing away with, they want to collapse all the mom and pop shops and consolidate everything because they know what's coming. And this is also why they must have a mass depopulation through a World War III scenario conglomeration and other means to consolidate one more step, because they know what's coming with regards to the celestial events that are going to rock people's paradigms in a way they couldn't even understand.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Blackouts are radically significant. And that's a great question, Ray, because you're going to see them spin the narrative and do all these. They just throw out these dumb little red herring stories out there because they know nobody really cares. But the reality is it's more significant than what most people can understand.
Well, it'll be significant to people when it happens to them. Can you imagine what happens when the grid goes down here and people don't have their screens?
Yeah.
You know, then they're going to pay attention. So anyone else in our audience, questions or comments? We're down to about 6 minutes here. Okay, Jamie, back to you.
Yeah. I'm not sure what else to touch on other than to say is, you know, keep your eyes wide open. And there's good things going on as well, too. And the Lord is moving. And there is a harvest that we know that is going to come. And there is people who are waking up to the reality that really do want to know the Lord, and they want to submit themselves to Him and live for Him fully. And there is going to come, as it's the time of the likes of which never has been and never will be again, I believe there's also going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the likes of which never has been and never will be again. So right amid all the bad stuff, the bad news should remind you of how truly awesome and good the good news really is. There's a reason why it's called the good news. It's called right. Good news because there's really, really bad news. So,
JR just raised his hand. So JR.
Hey, Jamie, I heard something about it was either Europe or Britain was talking about chemtrails, spraying things that reflect the sun to keep the sun from heating the land. You know anything about that?
Yeah. So there's a couple things to that. One is because they're losing the narrative of their geoengineering, which they've been doing since the 50s, right? We have umpteen patents and U.S. Air Force war doctrines based on weather modification and blah, blah, blah. So this whole concept of, we say chemtrails, really is geoengineering. Of geoengineering, they're losing the narrative. And so they're spinning it now as if they're doing it for our welfare. And so they're going to keep doing it. There's a couple competing ideas on why it's so significant to them. Obviously, depopulation agenda. There is the dimming of the sun because it goes back to what I was talking about, the perturbances in the magnetosphere. Everything is going to be centered on that. The book of Revelation mentions twice or three times, I can't remember in particular, about men hiding from the heat of the sun, the scorching heat of the sun. And actually, when I was on expedition in Peru, looking at even the elongated Paracan skulls, and we were digging into where they made their dwellings, all of them went underground. All the ancients went underground whenever there was aspects of astrocatastrophism because of things changing in the ionosphere and the magnetosphere and stuff around the Earth. So the chemtrail thing, them bringing out that data, there's a couple smoke and mirror things with that, but there's also one other aspect that's fascinating, speculative, but fascinating, is that they're actually trying to put enough particulate in the air to create a backdrop screen for what is coined as Project Bluebeam, to create a counterfeit fake UFO, UAP, alien invasion to consolidate power on the face of the Earth and to roll out a new counterfeit spiritualism over the Earth. So that's one of the other often used analysis of why they're doing it as well, too.
Interesting. Yeah, it's you really can't believe your own eyes anymore on a lot of this stuff.
No, you can't.
So, and there are a lot of people taken in. So with all of this coming together, I know we don't want to put dates or times on things, but what is your estimation that we're going to see the rest of this year?
Yeah, I think everything from here on out is different. And I know people's, that's not even a word. People have been saying that for decades now, but they were faithful and warning watchmen as well too. But now we're at the point where it's like, okay, those things are here. There's been a lot of faithful servants of the Lord that have been speaking to these things for 10, 20, 30, some 40 years, and they're finally coming into view. But when you look at the Essene, I go to the Essenes. John the Baptist was an Essene. His father was an Essene. The Essenes are a sect of Judaism that held to the scriptures in the fear of the Lord, and that were refused to acquiesce to the Judaizers of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. The Essenes are known to be 100% prophetically accurate. The Essenes are the ones who received Christ at his first coming. And actually, when it says, you know, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day, and you know, that kind of language throughout the Gospels and the Epistles and the Book of Acts, they were often always referring to the Essenes because they knew what they were looking for because they held to the scriptures so perfectly. Why do I say that? Because according to the Essenes, on our Gregorian calendar, 2025 is the end of the age of grace, the beginning of the transition period to the millennial reign of Christ, the final jubilee. 2025 is the end of the age of grace. I can't even wrap my mind around what that means, you know, truly what that means spiritually. So somewhere in this transition period, all the prophetic fulfillment of the end of the age must occur before the millennial reign begins, somewhere in this window. So that means all the chaos, all the destruction, and all the rebuilding for the rule and reign of Christ out from Zion for the 1,000-year millennial reign before the actual, you know, culmination of what we know biblically of kind of the linear progression of humanity. So I expect radical, significant things to begin occurring scientifically, like earth sciences, physically, technologically, militaristically, economically, and spiritually. They're all going to overlay, and things are going to shift at a rapid pace that most people aren't ready for.
All right. Okay. Hey, we got to wrap things up here because I've got another appointment here coming up. Check out Jamie's websites, omegadynamics.org, and the other one is calicobuffalobasecamp.com. And as we said at the beginning, check that out because he does have a summit coming up here this summer. And I haven't been there myself, but what I've heard from it, it's a great event. So thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rob.
Appreciate your time. It's always a pleasure. Kind of blew my mind. I wish we had 15 more minutes to go, but I've got to run. I will be back in 2 weeks, folks, with Pastor Art Pawlowski. Dr. Mike will be in here next week, and I will see you then. Okay. God bless. Bye.